CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes. DJs like that shit, right? Oh my god. Such a thing from like the 2010s. Can't do that anymore. That's embarrassing. Jesus, I saw they've fired Unati from Kaya. I don't know what happened there. Did you see that story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why my former colleague on Idols and someone who I have a lot of time for, Unati Nkai, I think they fired her. Let me find the story quickly. It's interesting. I haven't read the whole thing. I just read the headlines. You know, that's what all of us do these days. You read more than the headlines. What are you, a nerd?
It's more than enough.
Yeah. So let's have a look here. Let's see what happened. According to this story, which I have in front of me, it says from Times Live, the station said the contract ended prematurely due to certain conduct that rendered the relationship intolerable going forward. Unati Nkai's booting from Kaya FM is due to conduct that rendered the relationship intolerable. Who knows what that means? Because they're being very circumspect about it. What do you think? I mean, why not speculate, right? Who's got some speculative ideas?
Yeah.
It's probably something so small.
Yeah.
But it affects what people think and it affects what advertisers are allowed to... You know the story.
I reckon.
What they're allowed to associate themselves with.
I reckon like what happened when Metro eventually got rid of Fresh. They find an excuse because you've become so expensive to them and they reckon they can get someone cheaper to do your job. So they'll find any excuse. It could be like you refused to come to a meeting and like maybe she had to fetch her kids from school or something and she said, I can't make that meeting with management. And, you know, management, they think they're so important in radio. And then they said, oh, well, that's it, enough. We can't, you've rendered the relationship intolerable. I'll bet you it's something like that. We got to get her on one morning because she'll tell us. She won't protect those assholes. And if it was her.
Now that I'm figuring out. Yeah.
If it was her for some reason, because that could also happen. I mean, Unati's fiery, right? She doesn't take shit from anybody.
Yes.
If it was her, then she'll tell us why it happened. She's not the kind of person who's going to fade into the distance and pretend nothing happened. She'll tell us why. She knew there'd be fallout. And if it was her behavior, she knew that that would be part of it. So she'll tell us. Got to get her in. Be fun to talk to her. Anyway, I miss that woman. I haven't seen her in a while. And we used to see each other every week, you know.
So yeah.
She's one of those people I still think about occasionally. Anyway, so how's it going on this Friday morning? You can tell us what's up with you on the YouTube comments. It's the best way to do it. You can also email us if you're not listening live, because we still want to hear from you, even if you're not listening live. Fundo saying, how's it, Marchanas? You can see Joburg has gotten to Fundo, who used to be a good Zulu man from KZN, is now talking like someone from Santon. How's it, Marchanas? Very nice.
How's it?
Cabello remembers his roots. Dumelang, good morning. San Bonani from Sandine. Michael says, good morning. And Sifiwa says, it's the weekend, baby. Now, there's a greeting I could deal with. So quickly, let me get this off my chest. I got home last night from that meeting we had to have with, I told you, there's this meeting with this greedy developer who's trying to put up huge office, I mean, not even office blocks, residential blocks in the area. And it was okay. I mean, listen, it's his property, it's his money, he can do what he wants, right? But the traffic is going to become intolerable and there's a whole lot of other shit to worry about. Anyway, we'll find out what happens as that drags on for the months ahead. And if it's really shit, I thought about it. If it's really shitty and it's too close to my house and it ruins the neighborhood, then I'll move. I'll just move somewhere else. I'll find a new house. I'll start again. It's not the end of the world. And then I got home, having convinced myself that that was an option, to find that I had flooding at home. This passage right outside this room I've got towels all over the passage floor right now, and I've got a fan blowing on it to try and dry it out, because water came in and basically flooded the whole passage, and it's carpeted, which is such a problem, because it means if you don't if you don't dry it properly, it smells. So I may just want to move anyway, you know, I might just have had enough of this. So
oh my God.
That's how I'm feeling.
One leak.
Yeah, one
I'm
leak.
Sorry. Yeah, let me just tell you, I'm reporting live from the land of the great unwashed.
Do a Griselda Zelda though. Do it properly.
I'm standing here live in my office, my orifice, with no water for day five now.
Yes. Really, no water for 5 days?
No. Monday was the first day. The taps are still dry. I was a little late this morning because I was fetching water from the river so that I could flush. But seriously, it's... So they place these, and this is about 60 suburbs, I reckon.
So you're a bit smelly at the moment? Do you...
Well, I was going to someone's house every day to shower, and I missed out yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Just because I had no time for the drive and the schlep. So I'm going this morning. So I am a little unwashed.
Oof.
Then we have these tankers available at like petrol stations, water tankers.
How embarrassing.
And they're quite high up.
Yeah.
So as the level of these goes down, people now have to bring their ladders in their car, and the buckets you've got to tie rope to lower the buckets into the tankers.
Oh my God.
If you take what a drive outside, you'll
notice. This is like a medieval village. It's a medieval village. Yeah. I'm just going down to get the water from the well.
There are people walking around at any point with empty buckets in their hands or dragging full ones along in the streets. A mosque down the road has kindly left their gate open so that people can get access to filtered water for drinking. Some of our neighbors in our various streets have kindly offered for us to collect buckets of water from their swimming pools.
Jesus.
So it's really quite bad.
Fill the cistern of your lavatory. Do you see how much water actually goes into a toilet?
At least 7 liters.
It's a hectic amount of money of water, and if you don't have it, it's a horrible thing. Like if you have turds stewing in the pan for for a couple of days, it's not.
I had that yesterday.
Oh no!
Oh, I had to just close the bathroom door and wish it away while I waited for my gardener to help me with this enormous container of borehole water, which I managed to get.
I'm so sorry, Leanne. What a shit story. But back to me and my problems. So,
your one leak that's going to cause you
back
to leave
me and my
your
problems.
Home.
Ruth says, "Eek! That is the worst. It's going to be a wet weekend. I'd get a carpet company in that sucks all the water up next week. It's going to be raining as well. Perhaps that's an option."
Oh, that's a good idea.
God, yeah.
I'd do it today if I were you.
More expenses, though. More expenses. Things that I don't want to have to pay for. Throw Weet-Bix in the passage. They will absorb all the water. Thanks, Gabello. That's great. Elon wants to know which rural town you're living in, Leanne.
Jeepers. I mean, to think that I'm opposite a mini broadcasting hub.
Yeah.
I'm down the road from the SABC.
Yeah, well.
It's certainly not rural, but it feels like.
Saying SABC. You're next to the SABC actually only affirms it.
Yeah, that makes it worse. It doesn't make it better.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking.
Okay, I'll say Milpark Hospital instead.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah.
Okay. One of the best hospitals in South Africa.
Absolutely.
Maybe I should just be admitted. Then I'll be able to shower and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just lie.
There's always something I can go
lie and say you've got some condition.
I don't have to lie. Plenty of conditions I can go in for.
Mongezi says, Leanne, do you stay in Lesotho?
Might as well.
Jesus.
Might as well.
That's so good.
All right. Back to my problems. I suppose I'll have to get a carpet company in. I mean, what do you think they'll charge?
Well, first fix the leak.
No, there isn't. It's not a leak.
What happened? You okay. didn't tell us.
So what happened is the water came down so thick and so fast last night. There was, I mean, the roads were under like 5 inches of water, so it was ridiculous. It was an actual torrential downpour, like a monsoon, basically. Yeah. And I think that just the amount of water was just too much for all the pipes to deal with, because I also have a drain in my right outside my garage where I, you know, it's like the driveway, I suppose. And that was also flooded, and it was draining, but very slowly. So the pipe is maybe blocked. I don't know.
Yeah. Check for leaves. That's the big, that's the number one thing.
Jesus.
You always feel a bit stupid calling in a plumber, you know, when really, it's just a bunch of leaves.
I know I love living here 364 days a year. And then that one day a year when suddenly everything breaks and everything needs maintenance and everything costs money and you need to unblock pipes and you need to fix roofs and blah, blah, blah. On that day, you're like, I should have just rented. Because it wouldn't be my problem then. It'd be someone else's problem. Mm-hmm. So some part of me goes, this homeowning thing is bullshit, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's definitely feels like that for a homeowner. It's just ongoing.
Yeah, well. All right, I'm not going to complain about that all day because I'll figure it out. I'll dry it up even if it takes me like, you know, the whole of today with me wringing up towels like an old peasant woman in Russia. I'll figure it out.
Old woman.
Old woman? Man. I'm not a woman. No. All right, exactly.
My name's Dennis.
You didn't tell me your name is Dennis. Well, you didn't ask. If anyone is
confused. I'm 37.
I'm not old. If you're wondering where this comes from, you have not watched Monty Python's Search for the Holy Grail or Life of Brian or what's the other one? I can't remember. Anyway, so
we've watched them, but it was just a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah, but that's one of the all-time scenes there. Do I get to share my problems?
Yes, of course. Of course. This is all we do in the morning. So go ahead.
I wasn't actually listening to you guys. I don't know if you know these types of people, and I'm trying to evolve into this type of person. Mm-hmm. I don't like to listen anymore. I just like to wait for the other person to stop talking. So do you know those types of people who are not talking to you?
I just wait
for you to stop talking, and then let me tell you.
That even happens sometimes with family. Mm-hmm. I sometimes, like my dad was talking to me about something the other day, and I realized, like, I really wasn't listening. I was waiting for him to stop. That's a terrible.
I totally get it.
No, but it's such a weak personality trait. Like, you should be able to, if you have any decency at all, you should be able to focus on someone else for a little bit, right?
Ugh, no, not if they're just going on and on and on. Mm. Then I switch off.
Well, you can,
and then I'm too polite to say, you know, can you shut the fuck up?
Well, that's where
it goes. So I do just listen. Yeah.
So what
do listen, but I don't really concentrate.
Bulelo, do you actively try to discourage yourself from looking like you're not paying attention, or are you just beyond giving a shit anymore?
No, you know, contrary to popular belief, that's actually one thing which I'm half decent at is listening to people. Now, caring about it,
that's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the difference comes, as Jacob says. But she's at the tuck shop.
That's where the difference. Let me just find that. I want to hear that again. That's where the difference comes.
Everybody thought I was going to escort. No.
Here we go. Found it.
House.
That's where the difference comes.
He's so great.
So good.
That's so good.
Creepiest man.
So good.
That's not my job to do so.
Absolutely.
Talk about things that belong to me, that I paid for.
All right, anyway, go on.
So an update on my crying child thing on the Next Door Neighbors is that they will be moving back to India in May. And
hallelujah. Yeah,
there is.
Oh,
that's it.
Thank you, Jesus.
If there is a God.
That is fantastic news. Jeez. Wow. I'm so happy for you. Yeah. That's really good.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you. So those problems were once here and now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There we go. That's Hallelujah. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
Good. I was just quickly tell you that. So I've got this friend who is so, he hates his neighbors so much. You have no idea of how much he hates his neighbors. He literally wants to use the child as a weapon to beat the parents into a bloody pulp. That's how much he hates his neighbors. He cannot. Apparently, they would put things outside their front door, and he's on like the second or third floor, and he would throw them down the stairs. He hates them that much. All they do is make a noise all day and all night. They have the TV on loud, the kids screaming. It sounds like the house from hell, and they're right next door to him. He can do nothing about them. And apparently they've got hide like a rhino, because nothing he's done to them so far has even hinted that they must get the hell out and find somewhere else to live. They're just impervious to all of his moves.
I hate it when people are so ignorant and just not self-aware of how much noise they're generating.
I know. Oh, it's the worst. Ugh. So Justin has a solution, Leanne, that could solve your and my problems. All the sucked up bucket water that I get from my carpets, I'm going to send to you so you can wash in the floodwaters.
Yeah, great. I really want to wash my minge with your carpet water.
Thanks, Jed. Hey, it's better than having a dirty minge. Cabello wants to know, where is Ben today? He is actually flying to Cape Town. I think he's going down to visit the family or else to do some work or whatever. When Styrian Pikachu says, oh, don't you have insurance, Gareth? I don't know. Does insurance cover a water flood? Does it?
Absolutely, yes.
So I should get hold of my insurance then. Okay.
You pay for that shit every month.
All right.
Use it.
Fine. Tracy says, 8 years ago, we had a river near the Mediclinic in Somerset West. It burst its banks. The hospital flooded. The suburbs near the hospital was a disaster zone. Medical waste floating down the road. Oh, God, that's disgusting. Yuck. Bulelo is such an angry man, says Kawe. Really?
It's true.
Are you?
It's true. Nah. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe deep down inside, there's a tyrant inside of me, but I'm pretty content as life is now. I was an angry child, but not an angry man.
You know what? People mistake. It's like with me a lot of the time, and this is why I get into so much trouble when I have, you know, a guest on who's sensitive or whatever. God knows when last that happened. But I often get into trouble because it sounds like I'm angry when I'm actually just passionate about something, when I really care about something. For example, you know, I got into an argument with someone the other day about cyclists. And it's not because I really hate cyclists. I like teasing them, but I'm passionate about argument. So I will, if the cyclist like pushes back, I see like, oh yeah, here's an opportunity to have a proper argument. And then I like getting into that. And most people are so conflict averse that they mistake my excitement around conflict, or around argument rather, for conflict. And then I get into trouble and they're like, oh, you're such an angry person, or you're so full of hatred. And I'm like, really? I promise I don't go to sleep at night with hatred in my eyes, in my head. I'm a happy guy. I enjoy having really, really impassioned conversation, which some people don't. Everything's on a very steady, you know.
Hate it. Make me feel.
I go up and down, and forgive me, but that doesn't mean I'm angry, I promise. You know, I can't tell you. In fact, Leanne, you've known me the longest. How long do I really stay angry for? And even when I'm furiously angry, it's not like other people that sit and simmer and roast for hours. I don't get like that. I'm over it in like 10 minutes.
It's it's quicker than a Joburg flash storm.
Anyway.
Very quick. And you'll even forget about it completely.
What?
It's just that you'll even forget about it completely.
Huh?
It's just that some people...
got him, got him.
It's just that some people, including myself, it's my personality type. I just feel very uncomfortable in arguments and awkward and embarrassed. And, you know, you guys like that feeling of discomfort, that feeling, that challenge. But for some people, it just makes us a little... It just feels awkward and uneasy.
I know. You're very... So Mbulelo is the first person I've worked with in a long time who I know I could actually get really angry with, and he could get angry with me, and neither of us would take it personally. It's very rare to find someone like me, and he's like that. And maybe that's also why we get along and why he's become such a kind of staple on the show, is because even though we don't agree a lot, our personalities are quite similar. So where Mbulelo will have a totally different point of view on things, he's not afraid to fight with me. Yeah, look, you've become pretty good at it too, but in the beginning, you would, like, as soon as I started ranting and raving and shouting, you would just, like, sit there, and I could see you going, oh my God, when will he shut up?
Yeah, exactly like what Mbulelo was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So the angriest people are the ones who behave nicely. Nice people are scary. They never tell you what's actually on their mind because they fear conflict. Yeah. I find that a lot more scary.
I don't trust nice people.
Yeah, I don't
either. I was telling somebody, a business associate, like, if you're super nice up front, immediately I'm like, what's cutting here? What do you want?
Yeah, you see, the danger as well with my type is that we'll keep it in and keep it in. And when it comes out,
it's going to be
such a mess. It's irreversible.
Well, it's
the relationship's over.
It's like a flood in your passage. Suddenly, yeah. Exactly. the passage is flooded. It's a fuck up. Because... I'm like a, you know, I get rid of the pressure. I'm like a one of those kettles that starts wee, and then I switch off as soon as the sound comes on. Then I'm back to, like, I come below boiling point. But with you, it's like it's constantly boiling, and that steam is building up and building up and building up, and eventually it just explodes. I mean, Carl says, Gareth, you don't hold on to anger, but you use words like simmer and roast to describe this. Nando's anyone? healthy conflict is good, says Olivia. Rather get it out and get it over than let the wound fester. Yeah, but that's also, like Leanne says, for her, it's difficult to do that. She would rather avoid conflict, and she doesn't necessarily keep stock of the long-term damage until it's too late sometimes.
Yeah.
Don't explode, Leah.
Jesus, did you hear that? Did you hear her breathing in like that and sighing?
I was like, releasing some steam.
You motherfuckers.
Yeah, I guess.
I was thinking of everything that makes me angry.
Oh, yeah.
I let out a little bit quietly.
Mm-hmm.
I suffer when he bites me. I'm in my vagina. When I'm walking and he sees all the dog, he right away, he jump on my vagina because he gets so crazy that he doesn't know who I am.
That's right. Bite your vagina. That's exactly right. People that are passive aggressive, says Tembisa. Hey, I love that. Tembisa Urdendal. What's the bet there's a mixed marriage going on there? I just love that.
Oh, there's a lot happening there.
This is exciting. Tembisa Woodendahl says, people are just passive aggressive and have no idea how unhealthy it is. That's also true. That is, to me, much more scary. Shout at me, scream at me, even hit me. But don't be all passive aggressive with me. I don't know how to deal with that. Whereas, Leanne, you're probably a master at dealing with it because you could do it yourself, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Speaking of... Sorry, Leanne.
No, Mbulelo. You go ahead.
There's some Leanne, passive I'd hate aggressive. For this to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's fine. The last famous words. But speaking of Tembisa Urdendahl, I did put out a PSA yesterday, which I thought, you know, makes me a great man. Obviously, I survived COVID. I don't want to talk too much about that. I've overcome that and become a hero to millions.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was a hero again yesterday on the MKT show, which you can catch today. Because of load shedding, we'll be going live at 11:50 instead of 12 o'clock today.
Okay.
And we'll have, you've got your flooded carpets and I have my issues.
Let's go.
But anyway, yesterday I was addressing, obviously in the Rainbow Nation, we have issues we have to deal with. And everything's about me in my world. And a friend of mine who's about as white as it gets, he's about as white can be, like proper South African oak went to St. Albans, known him for 15 years, solid brother, that act. Right? I'm not going to say his name. But just a shout out to white guys out there. When you do date a black lady, just warn your friends sometimes, because when he introduced me to the lady, I mean, he's it's always, I just... it was me being internally like, oh, okay, hi, let's say her name was Nandi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we're not quite ready for that when you do the introduction. So you yeah. must please say, my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Don't just say, oh, so I want to introduce you to my girlfriend. You must say, my girlfriend, who's a black chick, by the way, because your what yeah. is what. If I introduce you to this
guy. Do
we
have to say that?
Yeah, guys, we're not there yet. I know we live in the Rainbow Nation where we think we can just, yeah, whatever, everything's fine. Because I'm the victim now. Because now you've put me in the position where I don't know whether to do the Sabona Siswam, because I wasn't ready for that, you know?
Okay.
Or because also, I kind of grew up in the northern suburbs. You know one thing white chicks are? Is white chicks are very aggressive on the first time they meet you to go for the hug. Like, hey, because I do the handshake or whatever. Hi! Oh, Jillian already in there.
Jillian. You
know? So in this case, I was put in a bit of a situation because I didn't realize that this man would ever mix the paint. And now it's a black thing. And then eventually I went to the high handshake thing. So yeah, I just thought I'd share
you are
what it's like to live in the rainbow.
But you are a mess. I mean, can't you just, isn't it just something that you integrate into your life now? I mean, it sounds very complicated. It sounds like you're dancing on eggshells there.
Well, you don't know how white this guy is. That's the thing. There's no way. If I ever suspected anyone of
not having
paint,
Okay.
It is not this guy.
Well, again, that's.
But it's so true. You do kind of warn your friends before. I mean, I've dated all types. And, you know, I had to say to my mom, well, I mean, usually the name gives it away. So, you know, if you, instead of saying, you know, my chick who's black, you could say my chick Tandy, and then people can kind of figure it out.
Yeah, but then there are white people. Hold on, there are white people who call their daughters Tandy now, so it's confusing.
Yeah.
The guy I was dating, his name was Siraj. So, you know, you kind of figure out who you're dealing with.
You know what? It's not just.
But I do remember when my mom said, hi, Shiraz.
Shiraz. It's not very difficult to kind of get your friends onto that side. But I remember because I've always had, you know, at varsity, you know, we had a kind of mixed group of friends. And it wasn't so much the friends, the family of me or of her in the case of this one friend of mine. But I invited just a few of my friends to my 21st birthday from varsity, and a couple of them were black. And the person who had a problem with it was my mother's domestic worker. She was like, who are these ones? And I was like, oh. Yeah, it was very weird. There was like there was a thing going on there. And I was like, they're my friends. She's like,
No, it happened.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Thing. Anyway, I mean, let's just move on because this is very exciting. So, first of all, Elon is God said someone farted on the show yesterday. Oh, please, if you can, find out what time so I can play it again. Oh, sorry. And then we can also find out who it is who was responsible. Who do you think it was? But then people often hear a fart when, like if I move my chair. Okay, it's not doing it.
Or if I...
It's not doing it.
Like, it could be this as well.
It could be that. Yeah. There we go. There, you just got the... It wasn't like a loud fart. But find out, Elon is God, if you can actually find out what time. And then Freedom Farter also says it's like a fart. Let it out. Better than an empty house than a bad tenant. That's talking about the anger and how you need to get rid of your anger. Mm. Very good point. Bulelo, you have enough grievances to become a world-class stand-up comedian, says Michael. Yes, that's true. And Corona's boring, says Bulelo, you're so racist, that's cultural appropriation. Well, Corona's boring. I hate to break it to you, but, you know, on this show, that's old news. There's lots of cultural appropriation and even a fair dollop of racism every now and then. Chilaco says Bulelo's turning into Uncle Ruckus. I love that. That's great. Cabello says it was Sis Pumi's chair that was the fart noise. I notice it happens when she's in. Well, I could promise you, Pumi's, there's no way that she's the kind of person who would just let out a fart. So it must have been her chair. You know, we're still laughing. About 2 weeks ago, when we had the burning platform, and I think it was Siv Ngesi referred to Pumi as the woman above, because in the picture that you get if you watch us on YouTube, Pumi was like, the screen was divided in four, and Pumi was above Siv on the screen. So I got an email from someone saying that woman above, which is now like an inside joke about Pumi being the woman above. All right. So a couple of people warning us here. Sindile says, haven't had lavatory talk on the show since the dietitian last year. We actually haven't done a lot of fart noises and, you know, in fact, I mean, we haven't even really been playing a lot of sound effects. I don't know if you've noticed that over the last 2 years. And it's mostly because someone gave me feedback a while ago that I was using too many noises and sound effects and music and kind of adding too much bullshit to the show. So it just put me off completely, and then I stopped using all that stuff. But it was a fun part of my morning, even if it was just entertaining to me. It was a little self-indulgent, I'll admit that. You want to look at some headlines?
Yes.
You sounded excited.
Absolutely.
All right.
I love the news.
Oh my God, you're so excited. So Princess Charlene, or Prisoner Charlene, as we call her, Princess Charlene's being housed at a secret location, not in Monaco, while she recovers from tiredness separated from her husband and their six-year-old twins. This comes after the princess missed a public appearance this week due to severe fatigue, feeling new concerns about her health. She had only returned to Monaco following a 10-month stay in South Africa, where she was recovering from surgery following a sinus infection. Now, I don't know, anybody who's had a sinus infection, you don't need 10 months of recovery. Ahead of Monaco's National Day, Prince Albert revealed in an interview that the former Olympic swimmer has once again left the country and is staying at an undisclosed location. He told the Monaco Matin newspaper, "She's better, but she still needs rest and peace. She's not in the principality, but we will be able to visit her very soon. I cannot tell you more out of discretion. There is tiredness, not just physical, which can be treated with a period of rest and monitoring." That was all translated from the French. He added the young twins Jacques and Gabriella had suffered from the absence of their mother. However, she's now taken a more active role in their lives. You know, this marriage has always been a bit strange, right?
There's something going on, guys.
Something funny.
It's never been normal.
Sorry.
Never ever been normal.
I like Monaco. I like Princess Charlene. I think she's a very cool South African ambassador internationally. I've done some work for her foundation, and I think she's a really she's an awesome human being. I mean, how cool that someone from Johannesburg, or from where was she from, Benoni or something, she could become a European princess and produce the next heir to the Monegasque throne. I think that's fantastic. I'm very excited about that. I always have been. But something about this marriage makes me very suspicious. And I think Albert may be a bit of a weirdo. I don't know for a fact. Of course, none of us do. But he just seems, and I know he's got a kid from a previous relationship with one of his mistresses or something. It's all just very strange. She was in no hurry to get back to Monaco after she came here. No hurry at all. So something's going on.
Yeah, definitely. Something's going on. But it always has been. It's never been a bed of roses from the beginning. So, yeah, I just wonder if he's changed her so much that she kind of thinks it's normal, but and maybe one day we won't hear the full story. I know it's not owed to us to hear the full story. But
I just wonder, because to get a woman to leave her children, there is no woman in the world, with the exception of complete psychopaths and sociopaths, and they are few and far between, thank God. Otherwise, most of us wouldn't have made it to adulthood, right? To have a woman leave her children, even for a couple of days, I know lots of moms, and they it doesn't matter how much physical pain they're in or how tired they are or anything else. You get them to leave their kids. That's a task. And she was apart from her children and her husband for 10 months here in South Africa, hanging out. And I just don't, it doesn't make sense. She's trying to get away from something, or he's not letting her back in. Something's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe you can only hide being from the East Rand so long, you know? Like there was a family dispute and she was like, "Yeah, sis, tell that chick I'm in a clapper. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you now, because I'll call Marissa from Bedford View and then this is going to be different, Albert. Okay, I don't want to go there."
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. Even Britney doesn't want to leave her children. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
But she doesn't have...
I saw her first TikTok after being released from her conservatorship. And it's actually the first time she's even been able to use the word legally.
She shouldn't have a TikTok. She shouldn't have social media. Honestly, I don't think that's going to help. It's going to make it worse.
She's quite entertaining on social media.
Of course she is to you, but I'm wondering about how good it is for her. You know, honestly, I think anyone with any mental health issues, the first thing, and I'm no psychologist, but maybe we should ask Dr. Hanan about this. First thing we should do, if you have any psychological problems, immediately take you off social media. That is just guaranteed to make it worse, no matter who you are, rich, poor, old, young.
That's telling me that I should be off of social media.
Yep. Well, I mean, you have
and
curtailed,
it's my job.
But you have curtailed your own personal social media over the years.
Completely.
Whether you've done that consciously as part of a plan, or whether it's subconsciously something that you've done because it doesn't make you feel good.
No, it just means that not everyone with mental disorders needs to be off of social media.
Mm.
We're not all raving, crazy, lunatic banshees.
You are.
We're like, you know, that's like saying we should all be tested our ability to drive or to, I don't know, dress ourselves properly.
Sure, straight jacket girl. We'll see about that. No, really, I think social media, as someone who, I don't think I have psychological problems, I may have one or two personality issues, but I'll tell you now, as a mentally healthy person, it does nothing good for me. Nothing. And I'm not just talking about when things are bad. I'm talking about just a day-to-day thing. You consider how much screen time and how wrapped up in your own thoughts and other people's thoughts about you, and it's very poisonous. It's a poisonous place. It's hard enough for people who have their life in balance. It can only be a bad thing for people who have their life in imbalance. Let's not just say mental health issues. Let's say people whose lives aren't exactly peachy. It can only make things worse. That's what I reckon.
Because how does Britney deal with the blowback? That's what I'm saying, is there'll be people who will DM her and go,
She doesn't care. I think she's totally deranged. But that's, you know, we've discussed this. I think she's deranged. Other people are a little more sympathetic. I just want to go to a comment here from Yonder. Yonder says, how can you be so nice about Princess Charlene and so hard on Princess Meghan Markle? I bet if she farted, you'd gain more liking for her. Probably. but it's, you know what it is? It's the attention seeking. Like, Charlene is not an attention seeker. I've told you this a million times on the show. One of the things I do find attractive is people who are not looking for attention all the time. And Meghan is exactly the opposite. Like, she's always looking for attention. Despite her protestations that she wants to be left alone, all she and Harry can do is get in front of a camera every time there's one in the vicinity. In fact, I'm surprised they aren't chasing TV crews down the street in front of their house, those two.
Like, the opposite of what happened with Diana.
Yeah. And Charlene, as far as I can tell, does her very best to stay out of the press. I mean, she was hiding out here in South Africa for 10 months. I don't know how many people here saw her, but she was right here. And nobody was running around trying to, you know, it's that to me is a big turnoff, attention seeking. Lots of people talking about Britney. Hines says, Britney is a lunatic, though. We used to laugh at her posts every morning in the office. Well, as I said the other day, if you're one of those free Britney types and you're following her, you have to be able to reconcile how crazy her social media is and how crazy the stuff is that she posts. That's not a healthy mind.
I want to hear no mourning in a year and a half's time when she goes full Britney now. Yeah. I don't want to hear, oh my God. No.
Yeah.
I will be the first to say, I told you so. I'm not afraid to be that guy.
I remember that person who, it was the first time on the internet that anyone had like publicly defended a celebrity, and we all laughed at it. Remember, there was that guy or girl, I can't even remember who it was.
It was a guy.
Leave Britney alone. You remember that?
I think they might have been non-binary, but we didn't know the term then.
Right.
But yeah, he had makeup all down his face and he was like genuinely upset and bawling his eyes out saying, leave Britney alone. Yeah. I think the people who are for or against her are probably have bigger problems than she does.
Bulelo, isn't there a video that shows how Britney deals with the blowback, similar to the one that made Kim Kardashian famous? All right, no, there we go. Shut up, Carl. Anyway, all right, we're going to turn our attention to something I think is quite important. It is Movember, which for some guys is an excuse to grow a stupid moustache. I could try to grow a moustache, but I'd need 3 years of Movembers and all the months in between to actually grow one. It's not my thing, and I'll look stupid. Plus, a lot of these guys...
All of your weirdness in this right now stems from you not growing a moustache.
I know, it's totally weird, right? I mean, so some guys who grow these moustaches, they look like that guy from Krugersdorp who was shot by the police.
Oh, yes.
They look
even cynical.
They either look like Freddie Mercury circa 1983, or they look like they should be driving a van very slowly past a primary school, you know. Not a good thing. It's not a good look. Moustache is really not everybody's look, and... Some of these people clearly think they look cool, but they don't. And I know that they're doing it for awareness, but awareness is stupid. And if we haven't figured this out yet, then I don't know what I can do for you. Then you're beyond saving. All these people who do stuff for awareness, like they want to ride a bicycle race to raise money for something, but it's really because they want to ride a bicycle race. And then they tell us, no, it's because of awareness. Like, I think the important people to talk to, and that's why we're going to have them on in a second, are the doctors and the people who can warn you about the genetics that could put you in some trouble. And really, the reason we do Movember is to bring awareness to prostate cancer and obviously to breast cancer as well. But I did a prostate cancer DNA test earlier this year. And we decided to speak to some of the experts involved in this fascinating field. And I decided to do it because I'm now in my 40s, and that's when you need to start looking out for this stuff. So I thought we'd talk a little more generally to Dr. Monique van Dijk and to geneticist Kilona Nata, who are both going to help us to make our way through this complicated field. And I'm going to bring on both of them now to just tell you a little bit about the test I did, and also to talk about, you know, these things in a useful way so we can actually figure some stuff out. So first of all, Kilona and Monique, thank you very much for joining us. Nice to see you both.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on your show.
What a pleasure. So Dr. Monique, let's just start quickly. I did this test, and it's a test which there are a couple of ways that you can check for cancer. Obviously, we talk a lot about breast cancer awareness, but maybe less about prostate cancer awareness, because a lot of guys immediately go, oh, no, shit, that's where that doctor's going to put their finger up my asshole, and then it's going to be very embarrassing and all the rest of it. This DNA test is quite interesting because it looks at how... likely you are, based on your genes, to be at risk. Do you want to just elaborate on that for us? And then I'll ask Kilona to explain the genetics behind it.
Okay, good morning. Yes, when we look at your risk for developing, say, for instance, prostate cancer, there's a lot of things that might increase your risk. Some of them you can change, but some of them you can't, and your genes are one of them. Obviously, prostate cancer runs in families often, but not always. And if there's prostate cancer in your family, it might be that you might carry the genes. So with this genetic test, it's actually quite easy. It's just a swab that you do in your mouth and you send it into the lab.
Yeah.
They can give you, they look at specific genes that are more prevalent in cancers. Such as, and especially now, prostate cancer, breast cancer, and ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
And with that, it's not a diagnostic test, but it actually is more of a risk assessment just in terms of genetics. So, and then they would, the test would actually tell you whether you are at an increased risk, a moderate risk, or a low risk.
So, Kilona, I mean, this is fascinating stuff, and I know Bulelo and I are both very interested in genetics, but is it true that certain genes can be switched on and off? And how do you know what to look for in a test like this? Because obviously genetics has come a long way, and now we're able to sequence the genome and we're able to find specific genetic markers. Your work must be fascinating, but tell us exactly how it all plays into cancer and what you can ascertain from these swabs that come into the lab.
Yes, so over the many, many years that people have been looking at genetics and cancer, a lot of research has been done into looking at specific genes, more particularly specific sections of the genes, which we call markers or SNPs. Mm. So we look at which ones of these SNPs are associated with cancer more frequently and which ones affect cellular processes. So particularly in cancer, we look at genes that affect DNA repair. So essentially, if there's a breakage in your DNA strand, which can happen, there needs to be a certain protein that will repair this mechanism. And if this doesn't get repaired, then your cell is essentially not going to proliferate or grow as it should be growing. Right. And that's when tumors would form and essentially cancer down the line. So what we do is we accumulate all this research together and we've set up a panel. So like Dr. Monique mentioned, we look and we screen all these markers that have been associated with cancer over the years. And then from there, we can then calculate your odds ratio or your risk ratio.
Okay, that's pretty interesting stuff. I know Mbulelo's got some specific questions, but I just want to quickly go back to Dr. Monique here. This is not the only thing you should do. Like if the DNA test comes up and it says, listen, you may be at increased risk, it's still a good idea to go and have the actual examination, right?
Yes, definitely. This is, as I said before, it's not a diagnostic test. So if you're at increased risk, it doesn't mean that you will get the specific cancer, or if you're at low risk, that you won't. It's just, I think it's just a tool to add to the whole box of tools in deciding what is your risk. For instance, there are risks like obesity, alcohol consumption, smoking, exposure to chemicals that might increase your risk. But those ones you can actually do something about. You can stop smoking, you can start exercising, eating right. And then we look at your family history. If there's a family history, especially if it's a first degree relative, like a parent, a sibling, or a child, then it will increase your risk. And then you know that if you then in an increased risk genetically, you should start screening earlier and more often.
Bulelo, you wanna ask some questions? I know you love it when we have doctors and scientists on.
My question was actually taken there, because what I was going to ask was, my first question is it more carried from mom or dad side? Because that's always an interesting thing for me, obviously with the history of the country we have, is that quite a lot of my family isn't documented past my great-grandfather. So in terms of diseases and things like that, I mean, you obviously want to be able to map it as far back as possible. Do we have an indication whether you need to be careful if it's from mom and dad or dad's side in particular in terms of testicular cancer and things like this?
I think Ilona will maybe have the more elaborate answer.
Yes, so in terms of genetics, you inherit essentially 50-50 from your parents. So if you would like to know about your family history and things like that, the best thing you can do is to see which of your parents carry the risk markers. So when we look at your genotype, that's essentially half from your dad, half from your mom. We cannot tell from your genetics which one comes from your dad and your mom. But if we do test both your parents, then we can see which one of them carry that risk allele or that risk gene that has now been passed on to you. And then that from there, you can trace back that way.
And then I just wanted to ask you from a more practical point of view is what are some of the barriers that you're still seeing with men? Because obviously we Joburg Oaks. We want to go and fart oaks and, you know, what are some of the things that are stopping guys from coming through and just getting ahead of this? Because I still see some of the numbers and it's like, just go get your balls touched.
No, I think if we look practically, it's lack of information and fear. A lot of people would rather just not want to know. And I think that is actually the worst thing possible, because for prostate cancer and breast cancer, if you trace it early on, especially for prostate cancer, the survival rate If it's an early diagnosis, will be about 100% after 5 years. So I think fear is one of the things, because once you know it, and then it's there. And then obviously the second thing, as Gareth mentioned, that men are afraid of a rectal examination.
Yeah.
Most men. Yes. And as a doctor, I've performed really hundreds of them during my life, and I've never had someone tell me that it was worse than they expected. Yeah, basically all the men just said, yeah, that wasn't so bad at all. It's a quick examination, but fortunately you don't need to start with that one early. There's a what we call a marker that's called the prostate-specific antigen. It's a blood test that you can do. And if you're at a very high risk category, it's recommended that you start early on from about 40 right. years of age with an annual PSA to get a basis line. It's a blood test, your GP can do it, your urologist can do it. And very high risk would be that you have more than one close relative with early onset prostate cancer below 65 years. And then the guideline says when there's a high risk, meaning one family close relative, but breast cancer as well, because that might increase your risk as some of the same genes are in both of them.
I just want to go to Racer Beck's comment here. My brother died from prostate cancer last year, and he was in his 40s, she says. That's obviously a horrible story. How prevalent is prostate cancer, and how prevalent is testicular cancer among men? I mean, I think you guys will know already. I did my test for the DNA test. Came back with like a 5% chance of it. Is that high?
No. You know, it's not about the test doesn't give you a percentage of chance. I think maybe you understood it little bit differently than what I meant.
Is this where you're going to tell me I'm going to die of prostate cancer? Oh,
yeah,
Jesus.
It's higher. No, 5% was lower. This is the way to break it.
Oh, no. It was actually so much.
The zero got scratched out. It's 50%.
Oh, God.
So how it works is it doesn't give you, say, you've got a 95% chance of getting the cancer. It just puts you in a category of with an odds ratio of a low risk, a moderate risk, or an increased risk.
Okay.
Prevalence, prostate cancer, it is more prevalent amongst older men, about 50 years old, and diagnosis is usually 65, but it doesn't mean that younger men can't get it.
Yeah.
It does happen, as she mentioned, or he, I'm sorry.
No, it's her brother.
Does happen, but it isn't very common in younger men. Interestingly, Black African men has a higher risk of aggressive prostate cancer. So
okay, that's interesting Stink Mina says here, as a Black man, I'm more at risk to get prostate cancer. So that's true. That's why after I reach the age of 35, I'm going to be testing regularly. That's probably a good idea, right?
Great idea.
Yeah. Yes. Screening, there's a lot of value in just getting a negative answer as well.
Sure.
If you start screening early and it's negative, especially if you've got a family history, it's in the back of your mind all the time that maybe. And if you start screening earlier, then you're in control. Mm. Basically, not in control, but at least in control of picking it up earlier.
Are there any things, you mentioned smoking and other things that can affect and make cancers worse? Are there any other immediate things that people can do if they are concerned about this, even if they aren't necessarily testing yet because they don't have reason to, or they're very young and they don't feel any problems exist at this stage? Are there things that you can do to kind of lessen the chances of getting prostate cancer, or if you're a woman, breast cancer?
Yes, definitely. Cancer is not just a genetic thing. It's actually quite a very complicated thing that can trigger if a cell triggers to suddenly just grow. I think it's really important to lead a healthy lifestyle. That's what everybody always says, but there's really value in making sure that you're not, for instance, overweight. Overweight, increased fat cells will increase your estrogen levels, and estrogen levels can feed breast cancer, even in men. I think it's it's actually quite interesting. Men think they can't get breast cancer, but 1% of breast cancers worldwide is actually men. And
oh, wow.
Yes, very interestingly, South Africa has quite a high number, or actually I think the highest number in the world of breast cancer in men, with about 1-3% of breast cancers in men.
Wow.
Okay, sorry, I skipped your answer now, of your question. So definitely looking at a healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
If you were exposed to radiation or chemicals, it might put you at an increased risk, so please start screening earlier.
Yeah.
Exercising, do not smoke. Alcohol is a problem as well. So moderate alcohol intake. Basically a healthy lifestyle, less fatty meals, all the things that we need to do to get in shape for December.
Oh, well, okay. Now you're speaking Bulelo's language. Kilona, while we've got you on, we love having geneticists and this is your field of expertise. So when you talk about these genes being switched on and off, have we got any more clarity? And I mean, how good are we at the moment? How good is your area of expertise and the other people in your area of expertise when it comes to actually mapping all this stuff out and figuring out how much of what we deal with disease-wise is genetic, how much of it is nature, and how much of it is the stuff that Dr. Monique was just saying now? You know, what you eat, the amount of exercise you do, those environmental factors, radiation, because we can't do much about what's in the genes. That's just who you are, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So there is a expanding field called epigenetics now, which is basically that on and off switch that you're talking about. And with epigenetics, it's being vastly expanded as we are getting more advancements in technology, more research is being done. So it is a relatively new field, but it has been coming up slowly. And, you know, it depends on the resources that we have as well to do these types of tests. There are other things such as expression panels that you can do to look at which proteins are being expressed. So there are advancements coming up, and we are getting there, definitely.
All right. I think this is all really good stuff. And thank you both for being with us this morning. It's really important for people to get ahead of this curve. And as Bulelo says, don't be afraid to go for the actual examination. That's the only way you know for sure.
And don't be afraid. Okay, sorry. Let's just nail that home. Healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. Good, yes. Good
Don't
point.
Be a fatty.
All right, but Dr. Monique, you wanted to add something before
I just wanted to add something. We've spoken about all these things, but where do people go?
Yeah.
A lot of people in South Africa actually don't have access to private medical care.
Mm-hmm.
If you have access, you can go to your GP, to your urologist, your gynecologist for screening. But the primary healthcare clinics will also be able to assist you with screening. Cancer has mobile health clinics visiting the clinics and other primary centers. So people that doesn't have access to private healthcare can contact their local clinic, or they can contact Cancer for just to ask when and where the clinic will be.
Right.
And they will screen for cancer or refer at least.
All right, very good. And as far as this DNA test goes, what we'll do is we'll also post the information on cliffcentral.com, so you can also go and have a look at that if that's something you're interested in doing. Okay, thank you so much. Good to have you both on. Kilona, Monique, thank you so much for your time this morning. Great to see you.
Thank you very much.
Cool, thank you. Leanne, I was going to bring you in there, but I know that you're not too worried about your balls. You're on mute. I'm embarrassed.
Sorry. No, my balls are all good.
Okay, I'm so glad.
I disappeared for a while there because I just needed to
do a self-exam.
Get buckets of water.
Oh, really?
And I needed to get buckets of water before my gardener left.
Oh, yeah. God. Okay, this is because Leanne hasn't had water at the moment and she's had enough. So speaking of...
I had to put pooing as a priority ahead of listening to having my balls checked out.
I understand. Now, speaking of balls, we're also going to talk about assholes later on. And this is very exciting.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we're going to be speaking to Christina Bowman, who you know is someone we've had on before. We talk about looking after your skin. And she actually gives me a peel every now and then and does the micro needling. And we've had her on before. In fact, I went to see her yesterday. And we're going to talk to her today about that. But we're also going to talk to her about anal bleaching, which is something new that she's doing. She hasn't done this on me yet, but you know, they never say okay. Never. But
yet. I like it.
You never know, right, Mbulelo? I mean,
yeah, you stay open to outcomes. Yeah,
correct.
Yes.
But we'll talk about this because there are apparently thousands of South African women who are very interested in having anal bleaching, and we'll need to find out more about this. So we're going to speak.
And also, is it just a white person thing?
Oh, yes.
That's what I want to know.
We need to know about that because everybody's anuses deserve equal treatment. So we'll find out.
I agree.
We'll find out all about this later on. I'll also tell you who the podcast of the week is. We'll get to George Meany in the Auto Trader pod. And we've got a couple of emails from some of our people who've got some interesting stories from all over the world. So all of that and more on the way. It's just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com on a Friday.
Cliffcentral.com.